So who here is excited about the Gary Peel concert that's coming up this fall? That's what I thought. Now, I just heard about this a couple days ago. Who is excited about the fact that the band Boston is coming here this fall? Little church outing. That's right. They've spent enough years on the road, and they're finally ready for Wenatchee. Now, here's why I asked about the Boston concert and the Gary Peel concert. Because, see, Gary is one of the members of the band Boston. Oh, yeah. But, you see, that also helps to illustrate the big idea I want to talk about just briefly this morning. It's one of these truths in Scripture that's kind of hidden in plain sight. Is that when you play in a band, it is about the band and not just about the individual musicians, right? Because nobody put their hand up about going to see the Gary Peel concert, and yet when you go to see the band Boston, you are also seeing Gary Peel in concert. And so with Gary, he's a guitar player. When he put his picture back up again, so maybe he shows up to the concert and he's been having a bad week and he really wanted to be an accountant, but he has to be a rock star instead. And so he decides, I'm not gonna bring my guitar. I'm gonna pick up the tuba instead, but I'm not gonna tune it because they don't pay me enough to tune this tuba. Do you think Boston is going to do a good job or a bad job? Bad job, because all of the members of the band matter. And it matters whether or not Gary shows up to the practices. It matters whether or not Gary shows up to the concert. It matters whether or not Gary is ready. But it's not about Gary, is it? It's about the band. Okay, sports fans. One more picture. Who knows who that is? All right, who is it? Okay. LeBron James. Now, who is the person that has the best NBA record at the moment? It is LeBron James. That's right. That's why he put his picture up, because he's currently the best player in the, is it league? What do you call that? Anyways, best player in the NBA. Now, how's the Miami Heat doing as a team? Right? They've got the best player according to the stats, but are they winning? No. Because it's about the team and not just the players. So when LeBron James shows up to a team practice, what he's hoping for is he's hoping that all the other members of the team do too. That is, he's working to do his very best. He wants every other member of the team to do their part and to do it well and to do it with passion, because when the team works together, they win. And when they work together really well, they win a lot. We're in a series called Bridezilla, looking at the church and how this extended metaphor in the scriptures of how the church is the bride of Christ. I mean, so over the weeks, we've been looking at how the Bible has some big things to say about the church. The church is God's plan A for impacting the world. It is the primary way that the gospel is meant to go forth, whether that's in Nicaragua through churches like Nuevo Jerusalem, thank you, okay, or I mean local churches scattered as outposts all around the world. It's God's plan A. Today I want us to look at what makes a great church, because the thing that makes a great church is the same thing that makes a great band. It's the same thing that makes a great team, but it's a truth that we often miss. We often miss. So we've been in the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to be in chapter 4. We're actually going to take a second look at a passage we studied a couple of weeks ago. So some of the same verses, but we're going to put a little bit of a different emphasis on things to see this other element of what it means to be a great church. Because who wants to be a part of a great church? When you're a part of a great church, great things happen. People find hope and encouragement and support. Lost people are found. Hurting people are helped. The gospel goes forward with power. Lives are changed and transformed. When a church is healthy and going well, there's a great things that result. This passage helps us to understand what makes a great church. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4. So, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, so people that start churches, people that speak up for justice, people that lead people to Christ, people that shepherd congregations, people that teach. 2, verse 12, to do what? What's the word? Come on. Equip. To equip God's people. Where it goes. For works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we, and then what's that word? It's an important word. All. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how maturity is a team sport. Maturity is something that happens when we are all in it together, when all of us grow, when everybody gets across the finish line, when everybody is growing, right? You only have the band when all the members of the band show up. You only have a winning team when all the members of the team are there and growing and practicing and learning and committed, mutually committed to winning the game. So this helps us to see, you know, the different roles in the church. As a pastor, my role is to equip. My role is a little bit like if you're any recording band has a producer, somebody that helps the bands to bring out the best of the players. Any winning team has a, what's the word? A coach, right? A coach who sees potential in people and helps people to work well together. And often there's a whole team of coaches. In our church, there's a whole team of coaches. So Pastor Adam and Megan and Linda, others working together to equip the body for works of service. So who does the work of service? Everybody. Tap three people on the shoulder and say, it's about all of us. Three people. It's about all of us. All right, now tap the best looking person around you and say, it's not just about you. Yeah, some of you can take that as a compliment. There you go. Okay. I could get in trouble for this. But some of you just got a date, so that's good. You're welcome. Now, it's about all of us. When we win, we all win. We all win. And maturity is a team sport. Okay, so keep reading here. So then, verse 14, it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. We won't get duped. We won't get knocked off course. We won't get distracted by silly, piddly things. We'll stay on mission. We'll stay together. Instead, and then we looked at this concept, instead by speaking the truth in love, when we have environments of encouragement and affirmation, when we see the potential in one another, it creates an environment where we have the ability to speak truthful words to one another. It enables us to hear. We grow as we hear truth. Are you open to truth in your life? Do you have people that love you enough that they can speak truth for you and you're ready to receive it? And are you, and am I, and are we committed to having an environment of love and affirmation so that truth can be spoken? You've had truth spoken to you at other times in your life when without the affirmation and love, and it wasn't fun, and you didn't grow because you probably didn't listen, because you didn't know whether or not the person loved you. But when somebody loves you and they speak truth, we're ready to hear it. And when we hear truth, we grow. So we speak the truth in love. And as we do so, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the what? Whole body. The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in, what's the word? Love, did you circle it? We grow as we build one another up in love as each part does its, what's the word? Work. We grow as each part does its work. So my one big question to you today. How is God calling you to grow in your part? We know in other arenas what it takes to build a great team, what it takes to build a great band, what it takes to build a great church is when every person knows their part and does something about it. How is God calling you to grow? I'd like you to look at this statement for a second. I will work on me for the sake of us. Lord, I will work on me for the sake of us. Where is God calling you to grow? Some of the aspects of Christian growth. I'm just going to poke around for a minute, and if one of them stings you, well, you're welcome, okay? I'm going to poke around a little bit. Are you in God's Word on a regular basis? I can read the Bible to you. I cannot read the Bible for you. Pastor Adam can read the Bible to you. He cannot read the Bible for you. Are you in God's Word? Are you serving somewhere? In the community? In the church? We grow as we serve. We mature as we serve. You were created in Christ Jesus for service. Where are you serving? Are you committed to emotional and relational health? Are you staying balanced? Are you getting rest? Are you extending forgiveness? Are you allowing yourself to be forgiven? Are you dealing with stress? Are you harboring anger? Where is God calling you to grow? I will work on me for the sake of us, because as all of us deepen and grow in Christ, as all of us deepen and grow, the body matures and the mission thrives and great things happen. One of the things that's so tough about the way that we often look at the church, and I was really struggling, I was talking with Anita about this yesterday, just struggling with this message, because one of the ways that when I try to land it, I want to be inspiring, man, yeah, I want people to feel it, is one of the questions I'm trying to answer for people on a regular basis is the question of, so what? You know, so what does that mean for me individually? And then, and to some degree, this truth is a little bit tricky because it's kind of counterintuitive. It's kind of countercultural, I guess you could say. Because for many of us, if we're just being honest, we come to church to go, what's in it for me? Were you inspired today? Well, I don't know. What'd God say to you today? Well, the music was okay. How was it for you? And I do hope things are good for you. I do hope that you get something out of it. The experience of worship, the experience of connection, the experience of fellowship and service. I hope you get something out of it. But the hard part about this is that's not the point. It's not the point. Have you ever heard somebody use a phrase like, I just want to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Yeah? We use phrases like that all the time. I just want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, I've got some good news for you and some bad news for you. The good news is you have an incredibly important part to play in the body of Christ. The bad news is you probably cannot be the hands and feet of Jesus. At your very best, you can be a hand looking for a foot, looking for an arm, dependent on a torso to move you to the place where your gift as a hand can be used. You have a part to play in the body of Christ. We desperately need each other. And in our hyper-individualistic culture, we so often forget that. So I don't know if you feel inspired by this, but I sure hope you're challenged. I will work on me for the sake of us. I will do the things that I need to do to grow and be healthy and thrive in my faith so that what God is calling us to together can be great. When the church thrives, lives change. Marriages get saved. Children get raised in healthy environments. Poverty gets eliminated. We live better when the church thrives, both here and around the world. You can't change a barrio in Nicaragua, but together, as we partner, with other elements of the body in other places, we can. No one of us individually could buy or build or do all of the cool things that have happened in this church over the last 3 months. My goodness, what a journey. But all of us together, and look around. Look around. Together, we fed 193 kids lunches. That's a good thing. I think God likes that. When hungry kids are being fed. Yeah. And yet that's a thing, that's a commitment and a task that no one of us could do. We're looking forward this summer to thousands of lunches. Can you do that? Well, that's a lot of sandwich meat. But together we can. I will work on me for the sake of us. So here's the final question, and I just challenge you with this, to ask this in prayer today. Lord, help me, just fill in the blank. Lord, help me. What's God calling you to take as your next step? Lord, help me get clean. Lord, help me release that anger. Lord, help me to fall in love with your word. Lord, help me to build strategic Christian friendships. Lord, help me to find a place of service. What is it for you? Lord, help me to grow in generosity. Lord, help me to use my gifts. Lord, help me, whatever it is, Lord, help me. And only you can fill in that blank. Lord, help me so that we can. And I'd also like you to fill in the blank. What are you excited about in the potential of local churches? Fill in the blank. For this, so that we can. I just want you to be bold. Let's talk for a second. I got another 30 seconds before I need to hush up here. Let's get some preaching done. Now, what are you excited about with potential for our congregation when we're healthy, so that we can? What's something you're looking forward to? A little sharing session. Just you and me talking. Feed more people. Yes. Meet more people. Thank you. So the Lord, help me too, so that we can meet more people. What's another way you'd fill in that blank? Oh, we're having a hard time being bold today. That's okay. Yeah, so our children can thrive in children's programs. Yes.
So we can serve for God.
So we can serve for God. Yes, so the women's ministry can thrive. What's your part? All of us working together, playing our part, doing what God is calling you to do for the sake of us. Let's pray together. Lord, you have called us to be a small part in a really big thing. And sometimes that can be so overwhelming because it feels like we don't have very much to give. But Lord, thank you that we do have a part to play. Lord, help each one of us to be faithful in that role. Lord, help each one of us individually to grow, to connect, to serve, to love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Lord, as we grow individually, thank you, God, for what you can do through all of us together, that we can welcome new people, that women's ministry can thrive, that children's ministry and programs can thrive. Lord, that the community can be fed. Lord, that people can meet Jesus and their lives can be changed. Lord, thank you that your grace extends to every person, no matter how broken, no matter how lost. And Lord, right now, we want to pray for maybe somebody that hasn't, that needs to rekindle or maybe even begin for the first time their relationship with you. So Lord, help us to love well. And Lord, I pray that for anybody today that needs to just take that step of, Jesus, help me. Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to be part of your family. Lord, I pray for the strength to take that step. Oh God, we are all broken. But together, Lord, we know that you can use us. Use us, we pray. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing together a song that reminds us of our mutual need for God. How we're in this together. We are broken vessels. We are one little piece in a gigantic puzzle, but you are a piece. You have a part to play. Bill, would you lead us?